Chapter 12. I'm going to endeavor to conclude what I started this morning. The Lord being our helper. I tell you, this scene got me so tore up, I wasn't sure which way I wanted to go. Fact is, I was ready to go up. Amen. Been a good time for the rapture took place. But I do feel God tugging our hearts with this. And you never know in a congregation who's there and what God's doing. And I pray that God would help us in a special way tonight. If we all that are saved could say what's in our heart, we'd all be running over saying, can't tell it all, can't say it all. But it sure is good to be saved. Sure is good to be saved. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1. Let's stand, please. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. That's what we've been doing around here, praising him, how good that is. I will praise thee. Thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away. Thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. We need that today, to trust him and not be afraid. Because there's a lot of things happening today, but thank God we can trust him. As Sister Amy said, he's faithful. We may fail, but he's faithful. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you tonight, God, that you have stirred our hearts so wonderfully, blessed us abundantly. We stand here tonight amazed at the grace of God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you're doing. I praise you and thank you, God, for the adult choir and the singing the songs. And then, Lord, seeing the congregation rejoice and touch their hearts and challenge their lives and touch my heart, challenge my life. Then, Lord, the young folk got up and sang praises unto thee. And, Father, I want to say thank you, God, for every child, every teenager, everyone in the house of God tonight. You bless him. Lord, they're coming up and just heard a testimony about their parents. Lord, help them realize they have parents, love them, take them to church, want to see them do right. They're blessed people. And God bless them and help them. And I pray, God, stir their hearts and continue the fire that's burning inside and keep them praising you, keep them close to you. And I pray and you rebuke the devil, powers of evil, the world, the situation, social life that comes against them, that they'll be able to stand strong for Jesus and be there for the Lord Jesus Christ as a shining light in a dark world. We'll praise you and thank you for that. Then, Lord, now comes time for the preached word of God. I need you to touch me. I pray for the Holy Spirit to take charge. God, help me get self out of the way and pray the power of God work in my heart, my life. I may preach as you'd have me to do so. We'll thank you. Even now we praise you for what you shall do. Somebody here tonight need to get saved. I pray the Holy Ghost bring conviction unto them, make it real to them. They'll be born in the family of God. Somebody here tonight saved, but their life has grown cold and they're missing something that you want them to have or do. And I pray, God, tonight that you work with them, make it real to them and touch their hearts. And we'll thank you, challenge all of us. And I pray, encourage us to do that that please you and bring glory to you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. We talked about that word salvation this morning and tried in the introduction to tell you about that word and mentioned three times in Scripture here that we read. It's mentioned 164 times in the Bible about the word salvation. It means deliverance and victory. It means deliverance, perseverance, safety. And I say, you put all that together and I say hallelujah for salvation. Salvation is not always meaning salvation like a sinner being born in the family of God. Sometimes it's salvation like Peter that was sinking in the water He was one of the disciples, but he got his eyes off of Jesus and got it on the storm, and he began to sink and said, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached down, picked him up. I say sometimes we get like that or saved. Our faith grows weak. We get away from God. We fail to trust God like we ought to, and we feel like we're sinking. We can cry out to God. I'm glad God reaches down, picks us up. Amen. I'm glad he does like he did Jonah and spits him out on dry ground when you got you in chasing and working on you. And he prepared something for you and trying to get your attention. He is getting your attention. And God's working with you. And then when he delivers well and takes it all the way. Then we talked about Paul, who was Saul, the persecutor, who became Paul the preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because he met Christ. It became real to him that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the true one. And we talked about the fact of David being delivered out of a horrible pit. And then we talked about number one. I'm going to try to condense some of this and get on with it so I can finish this up tonight, if God will help me. But I'm thinking about the word salvation and how it's, what it means and how it's used in Scripture and what salvation will do for you. I made this statement this morning. I guess my title for the message tonight and the day has been, where will salvation take you? Where will salvation take you? And I know we're all going to say heaven now. I'll get to that, Lord willing, after a while. But right now I'm thinking about, where does salvation take you to? I'm talking about really getting saved. I'm not talking about joining the church or getting ducked under the water. That's good if you're saved to do that, get baptized. And it's good to live right. It's good to quit doing wrong, all that. But that doesn't save you and birth you in the family of God. It takes the convicting power of the Holy Ghost to bring conviction and show you that you're lost and without God, going to hell without hope, and that Jesus Christ took your place, died on Calvary's cross, shed his blood, paid your price, rose from the dead, and that he seated the right hand of the Father, making intercession for all who will repent and believe can be saved. Those who repent and make a step of faith and believe God, believe what God said, they can be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believeth unto salvation. We need to believe it. We need to confess it. We need to let people know that we are saved and that we're living for God. But what does that do for us? Where does salvation take you? Anybody that's ever really been saved, anybody that's ever really been born again, it changed something in your life. I'm not talking about changing states. I'm not talking about changing location that way. I'm talking about changing in our lives that takes place. There was a change made in you when you got saved. I started to say when you got changed. Well, you did get changed. But when you got saved, there was a change made. Amen. There was a change made. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things have become new. You believe that? I do. Now, if a person gets saved and they've been changed and they've been mixed up in sin, and they may have some, the Bible talks about besetting sin that, and weaknesses that we have, those things that break us down. And the world and the devil knows how to tempt you and try you. Now, God would not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it, because God, he is faithful. He will. But you and I will have to admit the fact there's been many times we let the flesh have his way instead of the Holy Spirit on the inside. When we should have said no, we said yes. And when we should have run, we hung around. And when we should have not been there, we went there. And when we should not have said that, we said that. And when we should not have said anything, we said something. And we've all been there. But I am so glad, thank God, this salvation I'm talking about, it not only works in saving us and keeping us out of hell and taking us to heaven, but thank God it'll save us from ourselves and deliver us from ourselves and help us that we may grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and live closer unto him. I talked about it, number one, lead us into holiness. When holiness comes from the word sanctification comes from, it means to transcend, go beyond. It's set apart, means separated. And so we're not holy in the sense that God's holy. He's holy, holy in the sinless, has no sin, can do no sin, never has sin. We're talking about holiness for us in the sense that we are to live right. You say, preacher, we're Baptists. We believe you're saved by grace. I'm a Baptist too, and I believe I'm saved by grace through faith in Christ. I believe that with all my heart. But I also believe if you ever get saved, God expects you to live like you're saved. By their fruits ye shall know them. And the Bible makes it clear that we're not our own. We're bought with a price. We belong to God. And if we belong to him, we ought to please him and try to do those things pleasing in his sight. And so God wants us to live like we ought to live. Sometimes because we believe in preservation of the saints and that we're saved forever, and God said he gives us eternal life, and that can't be anything but forever. If it's eternal, it's forever. And sometimes we get accused of saying, well, you say you're saved forever, then you can be saved and just do whatever you want to. That all depends on who's controlling your want-to-er. If God is controlling your want-to, you can do what you want to. But if you're letting the flesh control it, you can't do what you want to because you'll mess up sure as the world. And so there's a battle that rages. Paul talked about it in Romans chapter 8. There's a battle that rages between the spirit and the flesh. And it's like the missionary said, talking to the Indian one day. He was witnessing to him, and the Indian had gotten saved. And he said he was having struggles, and he told the missionary, he said, I'm having problems. He said, what's wrong? He said, well, it's like this. Talking about doing right and wrong. He said, like two dogs in me fighting, one's black and one's white. He said, which one wins? He said, whichever one I say sick him to. Amen. If you'll say sick him to the Holy Spirit, he'll sick him. If you say sick him to the flesh, he'll sick him. And so it depends on you and what you do. You have a choice to make. We all do. We have choices to make. And there used to be this thing on T-shirts, and several years ago, the devil made me do it. You know, that got to be popular, and people kind of made a joke out of it. But let me say this to you. The devil didn't make you do anything. God gave us a free will to choose what we do. And the devil may tempt you. He may try you. He may, God may allow him to back you in a corner. He may put pressure on you. But what you choose to do is your choice. And that's not God's fault. And you can't even blame it on the devil, because we let him lead us around. We yield ourselves to him. We let the devil do what he wants to do, and we get messed up like that. And so tonight, I'm glad God has made a way of escape for us. And I didn't mean to get in all that tonight, but I already got into it and kind of getting deeper into it as I go. So let me just say this. We're saved by grace through faith and kept by the power of God. But God chastens those that he loves. He wants us to live and let our light shine. He didn't save you to take you to heaven, that's all. If that's all he saved you for, he knocked you in the head and took you when he saved you. But he saved you to serve him while you're here and bring glory to him. We are here, by the way, to glorify God in our lives. That's why we live. He put us here to worship him, adore him, glorify him, magnify him. Let him have the glory. As they sing tonight, Jesus, praise God for Jesus. Amen. If I only had one breath, I'd want to praise him. If I only had one time, I'd want to praise him. We only got one life to live. Let's praise him with it. How do you praise him with your life? It's not always saying glory. It's not always raising your hand. It's not always being in the service like we've been in today, tonight, and last night. It's not always like that. Sometimes it's out there on the workforce. When everybody's a-cussing and carrying on around you, and you're singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. It's when they're telling the filthy jokes, and you walk away and just don't listen to it. And when they ask you about it, you say, I'm saved. I just don't want to take part of that. And you do it nicely, you do it kindly, but you stand strong. Somebody offers you a drink of liquor, and you're somewhere in that situation. And I know once in a while people get in a situation where they didn't mean to get into, and something like that happens. You graciously say, I do not drink. Amen. You graciously say, I don't take part of that. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I appreciate you understanding. Move on about your life. Amen. and praise God. I know Brother Terry's been in a situation with the company where he works, where they, in fact, is now they don't even ask him. They just give him a Coca-Cola, Pepsi or something, and don't even ask him about that. But he works for a company that they, that's what they know, that's what they do. But I'm glad, praise God, they know he doesn't do it. Amen. And I thank God for that. Now, if you can stay away from it, stay away from it, period. But if you have to be around it for some reason or get caught in that situation, just learn to say no. I'm going to get off of this because I've got three more things I want to say tonight. Amen. But I like it. Let your light shine, what I'm trying to say. Let your light shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand for God. Don't be ashamed. Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, the Jew first, also to the Greek." I thank God it's for everybody. Everybody. I'm glad Jews can get saved. Gentiles can get saved. Any color can get saved. Anybody that will be willing to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ can and will be saved. Thank God for that. Now, let me go to the house of God. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but so much the more as you see that day approaching. Now, I want you to get that verse of scripture. I've quoted it, I guess, a million times. You've heard me say it over and over. But God said not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. And I realize sometimes folk have to miss church for various reasons, all that. But what I'm saying is we're living in a day, he said, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. What day is he talking about? He's talking about the rapture of the church, the taking out of the church. He said, as we're living in the days we live, you know how wicked it is today and how society is gone. Wickedness is everywhere. Ungodliness is everywhere. And it's trying to creep in our churches. It's trying to creep in anywhere that it can. But you know what we need to do? We need to go to church more, not less. Church, amen. Church doesn't save you. Church don't make you live right. But it sure is a good place to get saved. It's a good place to get your tank filled up and live right. Amen. It's a good place to go and get challenged. It's a good place to go hear the word of God. It's a good place to share your testimony. It's a good place to pray. It's a good altar to get on. It's just a good place to be, Brother Mark. I'm glad you're here. Thank God. It's a good place to come and be. I say hallelujah. And we go to church. Got a church. Jesus went to church. I have people say all the time, well, I can live just as good outside of church as I can in church. Well, if you're able-bodied, I don't doubt that. I know you can't. It's an impossibility. Now, I believe some folk is disabled, not able to go to the house of God. God helps them, gives them special grace and strength. But turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter number 4. Luke 4, verse 16. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. They gave him the book, the Bible, Old Testament. He began to read, but said, as his custom was. Somebody said, oh, you just go to church because it's a habit. Well, it is a habit. It's my custom. But it's more than a habit. It's more than a custom. I go because I want to go. Have it a hunger to go. I want to be in the house of God. And I say tonight, thank God for the house of God. Where will salvation lead you to? It'll lead you to living right. It'll lead you to the house of God. Amen. It will. It'll lead you to the house of God. For the day of Pentecost, they were in the upper room in one place and one accord. That's good. Amen. And God met with them. I say hallelujah. Do you remember Acts 4:31? It said they, where they were gathered together, they were praying, and they were assembled together, and said with one accord they were doing that, and said they prayed, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and spake the word of God with boldness. In other words, they were assembled together at the house of God, and they were praying. You find them assembling over and over and over together. Even John chapter 20, when Jesus appeared to disciples, and Thomas wasn't there, next Sunday night, Jesus showed up again and Thomas was there. I say to you, the early church Christians went to church. Jesus went to church. I think we ought to go to church. I love the church. Amen. And church is not the building, but it's a church place where we do meet. Amen. I love to go to the house of God. I was glad when he said to me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. And when you miss church, you feel like you miss something. Boy, it's good to get back in church and just to hear the word of God, singing like we've heard tonight, and just to worship God and praise his holy name. A whole lot more could be said about that. The church in Acts chapter 13, church at Antioch sent out missionaries. And when they prayed, assembled together, they sent out missionaries. The church sends out. I wonder about these folk that say they're saved and never go to church and say they don't have to go to church to be saved. And you don't have to go to church to be saved. But if you are saved, I believe you have a desire to go to church. Where will salvation lead you to? It'll lead you to the house of God. I wonder how those folk that never go to church, I wonder how they support missionaries. I wonder how they complete what God said to do. I wonder what they do with what God said to give to him. I wonder how they handle that. I wonder how all that works. It just doesn't work. That's all there is to it. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, we have a church house where we can come together, meet as a church, and we can meet together in one mind, one accord, worship God, praise his name, give him glory, and enjoy being in the house of God, get some help. Sometimes we get challenged, sometimes we get convicted, sometimes we get encouraged, sometimes we get help. But whatever it is we get, we need it. God gives us what we need, and we leave the house of God saying hallelujah. Being good to be in the house of the Lord. Number three, not only where will salvation lead you to? It'll lead you to holiness. That's just alliterated. It'll lead you to living right. It'll lead you to the house of God. Amen. I praise God for that. Then it leads you to the harvest field. Amen. If you're really saved, you'll have a desire to see somebody else get saved. You know, last night when those folk got saved, you know why other people were shouting, praising God? Because they're glad they got saved. You know why we cry and shout around here when people get saved? Because we're glad they got saved. And we want to be involved in the mission field. Hey, somebody came in this morning, that brother, looking for Brother Paul over here, asked me where he was, what Sunday school class he's in, and said he'd invite us to church, and we wanted to come, go to his Sunday school class, where he goes to Sunday school. So I took him out to his Sunday school class. Hey, you know what? He's involved in the mission field. He's involved in the harvest field. The fields are white. John 4:4-something anyway. What is that? 4:35. Thank you, Bill. John 4:30, that's why it's good to have somebody around who knows the word of God to help you. Amen. I knew it was in there. And I knew it was in the New Testament. I knew it was in the book of John. I knew it was in chapter 4, but couldn't get the verse. John 4:35. It said, amen, about to forget what it said. Jesus said, say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest, but lift up your eyes. And look on the fields, for they're white already unto harvest. He's saying the harvest field's already out here. Why? It's already ready. And Brother Morris the other night, I don't believe he said anything in preaching about it, but we was talking before church. He's telling me at lunchtime, I believe it was, we was eating together, and he was telling me how up in Indiana in the wintertime they sow wheat and raise corn in summertime and that kind of thing, and soybeans. But he said that wheat, when it gets ripe, it's growed up higher, and that winds are blowing on it. Waving said it's a beautiful sight. And it just reminds you of the world. It's a beautiful sight in the sense that it needs Jesus Christ, and they can be saved, and we have what they need. Up there, they have the machinery to go out there and harvest that wheat, and so they can bring it in. You and I have what we need so we can go out there and harvest in the field and bring them in, and they can be saved and bring the harvest in. Amen. Last night, my heart was blessed. And many of you have heard me tell this, but years ago, I was pastoring in Rural Retreat. And last night, there's a couple here from up there. They brought some folk down from Rural Retreat for our meeting last night. And they came up to me, talking to me afterward, church. And we were talking together and said, 31 years ago, you married us. And they got married. But I remember a little more than 31 years ago, I remember where we found them. I remember where they were. And one of them, the wife, God had led, one night was out on visitation, and somebody was with me, I believe it was one of his brother. And we was out visiting, knocking on doors. And beside the house where we were, there's a little dirt road went way back in there. You could tell there's a house back there, but couldn't tell much about it. I said, let's go back there and see who's there. And so we went back there, got to the house. They very kindly welcomed us in. It was very quickly recognizable they didn't have much. And they had two chairs in the living room where we were. They insisted that both of us sat down. The mother got a stool or something out of the kitchen and sat down on it. The kids, there were several of them, I don't even remember how many, they lined the wall and sat there. And then I began to talk to them and ask them about church, ask them about being saved. Started talking about Jesus. They never moved. They sat there and listened to everything I said. Then tears began to run down the mother's eyes. And some of the older children began to cry. And that night we bowed on our knees, asked God to save them. And some of them got saved that night. We told the bus driver about it, and they got to going by picking them up. And she was just a little girl then. And she got saved, born in the family of God, and got right with God. His family lived on the other side of Ruta Tree, back over a hill. You couldn't even see their house from the road. And they was about the same predicament this house was. Somebody else had found them. And they got in church, and he got saved. And praise God. Then later they got married. Amen. And they're still serving God in the church. I say hallelujah. Why nobody ever went out there to the harvest field? Why nobody ever got involved? Why salvation hadn't led us somewhere? I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on him that saved me, him that gave me salvation. And salvation led me somewhere. It led me out to the harvest field. And I saw the harvest, and God said that somebody had been sowing, somebody had been a watering, but you're going to let you reap some of it. I said, hallelujah, amen. I don't know where they first ever heard about Jesus. Some of the kids, I don't think, had ever heard about it. But I want you to know, thank God, that night, God Almighty did something in their hearts and their life. He let me get on it, and I say, praise his name and thank him. I'd rather get involved on people getting saved than anything I know. Amen. I love to see people saved, born in the family of God, and come to know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. Then number four, now I'll try to bring it to a close. Thank God salvation will lead you to heaven. Amen. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. I had some verses marked and all that. I'm not going to spend too much time reading you anything. I'm just going to tell you, thank God I'm going to heaven. And if you're saved, salvation will lead you to heaven. And the only reason you'll ever be in heaven is because you got saved and born in the family of God. It's not because your mom and dad saved. It's not because you come to church. If you ever get to heaven, it'll be because you got born into the family of God. I say to you tonight, you ought to get saved. You ought to get saved so you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you can get born in the family of God, live for the Lord. Heaven, heaven, what a beautiful place. What a beautiful place. I thought about even bringing you a poem about heaven, but I couldn't read it like Willard Thomas does, so I just said, I'll just tell you about heaven. Heaven's a place where God said, I'll wipe all tears from their eyes. Thou shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Behold, I make all things new. I say glory, hallelujah. Brother Jimmy, I'm going to a place where I'll never have another backache. I'm going to a place where my eyes will be perfect. I'm going to a place where I'm going to see mom and dad. I'm going to a place where I'm going to see grandma and grandpa. I'm going to a place where I'm going to see my in-laws. I'm going to a place where I've seen people out of this church leave out and go on to glory. I'm going to the same place. Amen. But most of all, I'm going to see him that loved me, gave himself for me. Oh, thank God to see him. Can you imagine just one time a glimpse of him, nail prints in his hands, say, child, welcome home. Can you imagine that? I can only imagine a little bit about what it's going to be like. He said over there they're going to be singing worthy, worthy, worthy. People don't like church. I don't see how in the world they're going to like heaven. Because in heaven we're going to be praising God, giving him glory. He's going to be the central figure. Going to be everything involved around him. That's what church is about. This is just a little taste of heaven. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Tonight, God's speaking to your heart. You know you're not saved. You know you've never been born again. You need Jesus as your Savior. Why don't you tonight just step out from where you are and come and bow an altar and give your heart to Jesus, ask God to save you. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll save you. You're here tonight, and God spoke to your heart. You've been saved, but you're not letting that salvation lead you to let your light shine like it should. You're not letting that light lead you to the house of God like you should. You're not letting that light, salvation lead you into the harvest field. Oh, you're glad you're going to heaven. It's going to lead you to heaven, no question. But we got some places to go before we get there. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for thy word. I'm thankful, Lord, that salvation will lead us somewhere. It'll do something inside of us. I thank you tonight for what you're doing here. Thank you for the liberty tonight to preach. Thank you for the opportunity to try to share about Jesus, about his salvation, his love, and his goodness. This precious word, salvation, I pray tonight it'll be real to every heart, every life. Your will be accomplished in this invitation. We commend it in your hands. May the Holy Spirit do his work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.